Today we continue our series of talks introduced by Reverend Jan last week in which we looked at various aspects and different dimensions about our way shower, Jesus. And today our topic is Jesus the Jew. Historically, Jesus' Jewishness tends to be forgotten. When I was a young boy in Catholic grammar school, there was, in fact, the belief that was expressed that those Jews killed our Savior. And in that prejudice, in which we really came to believe, the significance of Jesus' Jewishness was lost. And it raises the obvious question, well, so what? Why do we have to create this focus on Jesus? What significance does this hold for the world and for Christianity and for unity and for each and every one of us in our own individual lives? Well, in unity, we teach that the person of Jesus was a man who managed to manifest and demonstrate his Christ essence fully, or at least way more than anybody had up until that time in the Western world. And I wanted to open with this film clip today, taken from Fiddler on the Roof, because it does a really good example of showing just how intense it was an experience to be a Jew. And this whole notion of tradition not only is something that was very real, but it was a powerful force that touched every Jewish life from birth to death, virtually without exception. And as we learned from the clip, it became embedded in people how to live, what to do, what not to do, how to sleep, how to eat, how to wear their clothes, how to pray. And it defined for each individual who he and she was and what their relationship with God was supposed to be and what exactly was expected of them day in and day out in their lives. If you want a modern day example of what I'm talking about, 10 years ago, Susan and I got married and I was working for a company that was owned by an Orthodox Jew who also was a good friend, and we invited him to the wedding. And our wedding was on Saturday, and he could not drive on Saturday. He could not drive after Friday night sundown, so Friday afternoon he drove to the Northwest Burbs, took a hotel room, and then walked 3 miles to Unity Northwest Church where Susan and I were married. And the weather was okay, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But during the marriage ceremony, the weather took a very significant shift, and we had high winds like we're experiencing today with pouring rain, and the temperature dropped to 42 degrees. And from the church, he then walked another 3 miles to where the reception was held and showed up soaking wet, but he absolutely never, ever varied from honoring this really significant Jewish tradition. Jesus absolutely was a Jew. That means from his earliest days, he was totally immersed in swimming in this culture. His very early experiences would have been those of his family. You know, engaging in this process, embedding all of these concepts and what was the right thing to do and what was the right role for him to play and what was the right role for his family and his loved ones and everyone around him to play. And it makes sense because this was all that they knew. And there's a little footnote here. You know, there's something that's shared here. You know, where we come from, our own environments, our functions of maybe this is all that they knew. So it's something we really need to sink in a bit in terms of what that really means. But it was the loving thing to do on the part of Jesus' parents and the rest of his family to ingrain in him this culture that had provided stability and balance for literally thousands of years. Over the centuries, Christianity would kind of shrug all of this off, deciding to emphasize Jesus' divinity. You know, they pretty much had a new attitude of, well, he was the Son of God. This was no big deal for him to criticize and confront his Jewish tradition. It should have been easy peasy, a piece of cake for him. But what gets lost in all of that, and it tends to separate us even further from having any kind of a relationship with our way shower, is that emphasis on his divinity. He became separate and apart. In unity, we certainly lay claim that we share that same divinity, that same Christ essence that Jesus did. But what really makes it significant for us is we also share in his humanity. And somehow Jesus was able to overcome all of this in a way that allowed him to emerge, to transcend his roots, in a way in which he was able to come to the fore and confront and do some really bold things in his time. And we read what he did in the scriptures, and the lens that we're wearing is not the same. You know, we're wearing lens from the 21st century, and we read things that he did, that he cured people on the Sabbath. And we don't understand that in that culture at that time, that this would have been a flagrant violation of Jewish tradition and of Jewish customs. And he hung around with tax collectors, people who were absolutely despised because these were Jews who took on jobs hired by the Romans to extract as much money as they possibly could from the people. And he dined with sinners. And he sometimes dined with people outside of the Jewish circles. And all of this would have been absolutely unheard of. If it were simply the case that this was all possible because he was the Son of God, it really rips the fiber, not only for us in unity, but for all of Christianity, because it marks a departure for us from our own heritage, which is a Judaic Christian heritage. We each have our own particular backgrounds. You know, some of us are Polish or Italian or German or Irish or African American or whatever. And perhaps those cultures, those heritages, have not been as profoundly, deeply ingrained in us as the Jewishness was at the time of Jesus' life. But we all still come equipped with our own cultural and religious backgrounds, with our own baggage. Again, I was raised in Roman Catholicism. I have 16 years of Catholic education. And the most parts of my life, this strongly determined for me the shoulds and shouldn'ts in my life. And that too was a bit of a cultural thing. So even today, when Catholics meet for the first time, there's an exchange. What parish did you belong to? Did you go to Catholic schools at your time? And there's that connection, that bond that is made. We also have families. Even if our families weren't particularly religious, every family has its own culture, its own set of do's and don'ts, its own set of priorities and roles that each family member is expected to live by. It's something that becomes dependent on. And this is something that also is very intense. It doesn't go away. There have been several times in my life when I've heard somebody make the comment when all of a sudden he or she would have the realization that they were engaging in behavior, a certain behavior, and I would hear the words, oh my God, I've become my mother. Familiar with this at all? And even, oh my God, I'm acting and doing things exactly the way my father would have done them. These things don't go away. They stay with us long after our parents have passed and moved on. They are part of our psychological DNA, our very makeup. So what does this mean? Does this mean that we're stuck, that we're trapped, that we don't have any options, that we're forced to live out our lives in accordance with everything that has been ingrained in us? No, absolutely not. And the whole point of talking about Jesus and his Jewishness is because it sends the message that we absolutely are bound to what we have been and where we have come from only to the extent that we ultimately choose to do so. And in Unity, we teach that there comes a time, a proper time, to let go of old, worn-out thoughts and beliefs and actions and ways of doing things, regardless of how deeply they may have been ingrained in us, and regardless of how appropriate they were for us at a different time in our lives. There's a time to move on. I know a family in which the mother was a really strong personality. She called all of the shots. And this isn't different. You know, every family has somebody who emerges as the boss. Most of the time, it's one of the other parents, but it could even be one of the children in the family. But anyway, on one occasion, she was really giving her husband a hard time, directing him to do things and da-da-da-da-da and on and on. And the handful of the kids were present. There were 11 children in this family, 9 children in this family. And they heard all of this, and they tried to stir up an insurrection. They went up to their father and said, "Dad, don't take this anymore. You know, stand up to her." And the father replied, "You know what, just leave it alone. Because if anything, it's going to make my life even more miserable." When I was in business, we employed a young Chinese woman, about 25 years of age. And she was a very powerful figure. She had no problem calling out suppliers and customers and most of our agents in the field. And she was really of value to us. And we also had an agent who also was an older Chinese woman in China. And she also did a good job. She was not an employee. She was an agent. But something happened one time and she needed to be confronted about something. So I suggested to the younger Chinese woman, they both spoke Mandarin, have a conversation with her. You need to confront her on this. And she said, "No, I can't do that." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because of the nature of Chinese culture and tradition, I wouldn't stand a chance. I absolutely cannot take this on for us." But Jesus' emergence sends the message that as difficult as it was to break the chains, it is absolutely possible to do so. And he was able to get the message across that the law exists for man and not the other way around. And in every confrontation, and in every time he was called upon to outgrow his culture in a given set of circumstances, he did something that was really significant. He made it clear, he says, "It's not I that do all of these things, but the Father." And this is really important because let's be honest about this. You know, breaking those chains and moving on is not an easy thing for us to do. And we might look at a situation of having to sit down and have a confrontation with mom or dad or Uncle Bill or whoever. And like the Chinese girl in my story, I can't do that. And you know, when you come to that conclusion, you are absolutely right. But if we keep in our awareness, in our consciousness, that it's not that God is absolutely in everything, and that in God and in spirit, absolutely nothing is impossible. Every possibility can become a reality. And if we could just adopt that consciousness, it turns that whole paradigm around. And it changes from I can't to, you know what? I absolutely can. In the Gospel of John, there's a character called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus also was a Jew, thoroughly immersed in the culture, as we saw in the video clip. But Nicodemus was also a Pharisee, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was a tribunal college of decision makers. So he held a very prominent position. And one night, he comes to Jesus to talk to Jesus about his teachings. And there's a significance with him coming to Jesus at night from the dark. A, he probably didn't want to be seen talking to this young Jewish upstart. But from a metaphysical standpoint, there's also the concept that he came out of the darkness, out of a dimmer consciousness, to talk to Jesus about his teachings in order to become enlightened. I believe that the story of Nicodemus was included in this gospel for a very specific reason. It drives home the point that it wasn't just possible for Jesus, but that it was possible for other people, regardless of how deeply immersed they were in their cultures or in their family situations or in their lives at any given time. There's another important takeaway from Jesus and his Jewishness. As much as he would challenge century-old thoughts and concepts, he still embraced his Jewishness. He observed fasting laws. He participated in Jewish rituals. Without question, he would have been aware of the prayer shawls. He didn't forget who he was or where he came from. And you might say, well, wait a minute, this just absolutely contradicts everything that we've been talking about up to this point. But it doesn't. It embellishes it. It was in his Jewishness that made everything so precisely binding. And it was exactly the actions that he took coming from that background that made what he did so divinely daring. Wherever we may be on our own spiritual paths, it's really important for all of us to acknowledge, embrace, and bless whatever got us to this particular point, to this particular level of consciousness where we may sit, regardless of whether or not all of the experiences were happy or painful. When Jesus spoke of fulfilling the law and the prophets, there came with that a recognition that following the letter of that law was something that was necessary and valuable for hundreds and hundreds of years. But now it was time to move on. You can't emerge from your own backgrounds, from your own cultural heritages, without first embracing them. You can't really get to point B in your spiritual path, in your spiritual journey, without first acknowledging that you're standing at point A. Who you are and all of the composites that went into bringing you to that point are not things to be ignored. They're not things to be denied. They're things to be embraced in a very healthy way. There's a spiritual dimension to your Polishness or your Irishness or whatever. And there's also a spiritual dimension to your own particular family system. One of the things that the film clip pointed out is all of this that went on. And you can imagine things like a fixed marriage, somebody coming along and determining who it is that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. The times that people must have balked at the reality of this. But it provided them with two incredibly valuable things. A sense of identity. People knew who they were. And also an incredible sense of balance. You can't take the next step. Whether you're talking about walking or whether you're talking about improving yourself psychologically and spiritually, you can't take that next step unless you're moving from a place of equilibrium and balance. Jesus was a Jew. In a way, he transformed the world by elevating himself, by considering the possibility that there were other possibilities. And with that, his Jewishness, which is certainly part of our own heritage that we lose sight of, was an important foundation for him to launch the whole thing. So let's take this into prayer, into meditation.